What a horrible story, Genesis 22. But listen to a good story from John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. This is the word of the Lord. Let us bow in prayer. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In the 22nd chapter of Genesis, we read, God put Abraham to a test, and he called to him, saying, Abraham! God's voice was heard. It was recognized. To Abraham, it was a familiar voice. He couldn't mistake it. He had first heard it many years before when he had been living in the pagan city of Haran. In the past, the voice had instructed Abraham to leave Haran and to seek a new land. The voice had said, "Leave everything behind and go to the land I am going to show you, and I will bless you and make your name great. Through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed." Abraham had obeyed that voice. He had bet his entire life, his entire future on that voice. For Abraham knew that the voice belonged to God, the one and only true God, the creator of the entire universe. And now Abraham heard the voice of God again. It must have excited and thrilled him, but perhaps it also terrified him a little. After all, he was only a man, and God was so great. Yet Abraham knew that God's voice in the past had been a voice of promise, a voice of goodness. He had every reason to believe that it was the same now. What good thing was God about to offer this time? Eagerly, obediently, Abraham responded, "Here I am, Lord." What a shock it must have been to Abraham. What a shiver it must have sent down his spine when he heard the voice of God speak this time. "Abraham, I want you to give me your best, your only son of promise. I want you to give me Isaac. Take your son, whom you love, and go into the land of Moriah, and there offer him to me as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will show you." Abraham was speechless. Was he hearing right? Could there be some mistake? How could God ask him to give his son as a burnt sacrifice? What a horrible thing to request. Abraham had lived in Haran. He had undoubtedly had witnessed many pagan religious practices. He had probably seen fornication committed as an act of worship to various fertility gods. He may have seen frenzied rituals with people shouting, dancing, and beating themselves for the purpose of winning imagined favors from gods of stone and wood. He had probably even seen human beings brutally sacrificed at pagan altars in order to appease supposedly angry gods. We have historical evidence of such things. But Abraham thought he had left that behind. The barbarity in that pagan worship had only convinced Abraham all the more of the viciousness, vanity, and emptiness of the pagan gods themselves. Abraham felt certain that the God he worshipped was above all that. He had come to believe and to trust that the God of the universe, the God he had come to know, was a compassionate, beneficent, kind, and caring God. And now, suddenly, God was demanding a human sacrifice. Abraham was thrown into confusion. He felt mental torment, perhaps even despair. Was the God of the universe, the God who was real and true? Was he no better than those fierce, malignant, capricious gods of the pagans? Was he no different? How could Abraham have slept that night? He must have wrestled with all kinds of questions in his mind. What sort of God am I following? What kind of God am I worshiping? How can God ask me to kill my own son? How can I go on living if I do this terrible thing? Perhaps like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, Abraham prayed on his knees in agony, asking for this bitter cup to pass from him. But God's command did not change. God intended this incident to be a lesson to Abraham, and a lesson to men and women of every place and throughout every age. Our story continues. In Genesis 22:3, we read, Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and cut wood for the burnt offering and went unto the place of which God had told him. Abraham obeyed. It was God who had commanded him, the God who had given Abraham his life, who had given him his son. Though Abraham may have entertained some temporary doubts about the character of God, he now put those doubts out of his mind. God had been faithful in the past. He would therefore trust God in the present. Abraham was convinced that God was good and that God had his reasons for demanding the sacrifice of Isaac. How wise of Abraham to defer to the wisdom of God. And so, Abraham reluctantly, obediently, prepared to do what God commanded, to give to God his son, his very best and beloved son of promise. As Abraham went about preparing to do God's will, what was going on in the mind of Isaac? After 3 days of travel, Abraham, his son, and two servants stopped. Did Isaac suspect what his father was intending to do? In verse 8 we read, and Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, behold, here is the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? I'm sure that Isaac's question was asked in complete innocence. Or perhaps he thought his father was slipping, that perhaps there was senility involved in his father's actions. In any case, Isaac had no reason for being suspicious. Abraham and his family had never followed the pagan practice of human sacrifice. Such a thing was foreign to the thought and experience of Isaac. Secondly, he knew that his father loved him. He would think that would be the farthest thing in Abraham's imagination. How terribly perplexed and fearful and shocked Isaac must have been when Abraham bound him hands and feet. And then, with Isaac totally bound, he placed him on the altar of sacrifice. Suddenly, it dawned on Isaac that now he had the answer to his earlier question. Where was the lamb for the burnt offering? He was the lamb. He was the proposed sacrifice. I'm glad the story doesn't stop there or end with the actual sacrifice of Isaac. We know what happened. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham and prevented him from killing Isaac. And then suddenly Abraham saw a ram caught in a thicket. Scripture says Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in place of his son. And as the offering was made, perhaps Abraham heard the words, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Friends, as Isaac was the only promised and beloved son of Abraham, so Christ is the beloved and only begotten Son of God. As Abraham traveled to the land of Moriah and built an offer of sacrifice upon a particular mountain of Moriah, so Christ traveled to Jerusalem, which, says Scripture in Leviticus, was built upon the mountain of Moriah. How amazing, how awe-inspiring that in the very vicinity, perhaps the very place where Isaac was sacrificed, there, 2,000 years later, Christ himself was sacrificed. But of course, the story tells us that Isaac was not killed. A ram was sacrificed in the place of Isaac. Doesn't this foreshadow what Christ has done for us? Christ died in our place. We do not need to die to satisfy the justice, the holiness of our God. Christ is our substitute. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Where is the Lamb? The question of Isaac is answered in Jesus Christ for all people and for all time. Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. Abraham called the mountain Jehovah Jireh, which means God will provide. Not God has provided. But at the end of these transactions, Abraham says, God will provide. Speaking of the future. And God did provide. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. What terrible experience on the part of God. The Godhead, the triune Godhead, being ripped apart with the Son dying for our sins. Whenever there is silence around me by day or by night, I am startled by a cry. It came down from the cross. The first time I heard it, I went out and searched and found a man in the throes of crucifixion. And I said, I will take you down. And I tried to take the nails out of his feet. But he said to me, let them be, for I cannot be taken down until every man, every woman, and every child come together to take me down. And I said, but I cannot bear to hear you cry. What can I do? And he said, go about the world. Tell everyone that you meet, there is a man on the cross. Let us pray. Oh Lord, philosophically, we are told that God cannot suffer, and yet, with the suffering of your Son, so you suffered as a father. Lord, we give you thanks that you are willing to give yourself, your Son, to break apart the unity of the Godhead. For our sake, thank you. Through Christ we pray. Amen.